Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 28th January, 2026, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9, we are studying two of the greatest chapters in all of the Word of God that defines a very important doctrine, and that is grace giving. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. We are in chapter 9 in preparation to worship our Lord. A few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA, the freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The article is called The Supply Line by Tom Gilbreth. Pharaoh dreamed of 7 fat, healthy cows being devoured by 7 sickly cows. And then he dreamed of 7 healthy ears of grain devoured by blighted grain. God gave Joseph the interpretation of that dream. 7 years of plenty would be followed by 7 years of famine. So Joseph advised Pharaoh to build up food supplies in times of plenty in order to survive the lean years. The plan made Pharaoh and Egypt even richer because they were able to supply food for a hungry world, including nascent Israel. America once took that pattern to heart. Both the government and private businesses held vast reserves of food and essential goods in warehouses all over the country. But the government no longer stores food in large amounts. Businesses now use high-tech computerized warehouses. They operate on a model of just-in-time manufacturing. And just-in-time delivery. Modern warehouses and stores usually have days, not weeks, not months of inventory, only days of inventory. 50 years ago, some of you weren't here 50 years ago. I was here when Adam was here. 50 years ago, warehouses were passive, long-term, bulk storage repositories. They weren't as efficient, but that lack of efficiency provided the nation with the measure of food and pharmaceutical security we don't have with today's high-tech fulfillment hubs. Businesses love the cost savings of their new strategy, a lean system that just barely meets demand is far more profitable than holding on to vast inventories. But after years of this mentality, we are now working without a net. We have no margin for safety. Even small disruptions can become catastrophic. As I write this, a vast winter storm bears down on much of the United States, to be followed by extreme cold. This storm is not likely to cause much of a supply chain problem, but it does show the growing vulnerability of our national infrastructure. Such weaknesses show up during natural disasters. But the country, our nation, quickly forgets them when things start going well again. Today's infrastructure and supply lines are highly vulnerable. We have an aging electric grid made for manual control, now run by a patchwork mishmash of computerization. A vast percentage of essential supplies come from overseas, particularly Asia. And that makes for long supply lines. And worst of all, our most important supplier is China. China. And China considers us their enemy that they must destroy. We are dependent on an enemy that wants to destroy us. How stupid can we be? Well, we are so much apostasy and degeneracy, there's no clear thinking. In both areas, we are more vulnerable than ever because we are less prepared than ever. We act cavalierly as the grasshopper. Remember Aesop's fable? Well, we're the grasshopper in Aesop's fable, relaxing away the summer while the ants are working to get ready for winter. We need to be ants, not grasshoppers. Notice ants. It wasn't ants, not uncles. It's ants. I'm not telling you to become a prepper, but we should all make reasonable preparations for emergencies, whether natural or man-made. Still, no matter how hard we try, no one can prepare for every emergency. If you could spend all your time working on it, and if you had billions of dollars to spend, then you need to tithe. No, that's not in there. But we're on grace giving, that's not grace giving. That's an illustration of legalistic giving there. If you had billions to spend, you still could not be ready for all contingencies. But the most important preparation work takes no money at all. And that is having a personal relationship with the living and true God. That's preparation. Having a personal relationship with the living and true God. Placing first of all your faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Instantly you're entered into union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And immediately you have a double portion of God's righteousness, because you have the imputation of God the Father's righteousness at the moment of faith in Christ. And through the baptism of the Spirit, you share the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have the gift of eternal life at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ from God the Father. And you share the eternal life of Jesus Christ in union with Him. And you have the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit, which is the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. And you have the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit so that you can represent yourself before the living and true God. And you have the universal ambassadorship as a believer to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And you instantly were blessed at salvation with 40 amazing salvation blessings and guaranteed logistical grace, blessing, and support every day from that day of salvation to today. Every day God sends down that grace pipeline, temporal security. Temporal security. Why? To keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. God is the one who provides. You don't need billions of dollars. You don't have to start saving food for a week or a month or a year. You simply believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And now, down a grace pipeline, justice of God on one end to the imputed righteousness on the other, come 40 salvation blessings, logistical grace, blessing, and support, which goes to all believers. Winner believers, loser believers, baby believers, adolescent believers, spiritually mature believers, carnal believers, reversionistic believers, all believers. God sends logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep us all alive in the middle of the devil's world so that we can make good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts, so that then God sends down that pipeline greater grace blessing No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in America, greater grace blessing. No matter what's going on in Nevada, Las Vegas. No matter whether we are in great times of prosperity or adversity, God provides greater grace blessings for the winner believer. That's your preparation. Your preparation starts with salvation, faith in Christ. And then as he goes on here, about all that was not in there. That was my helping him out a little bit. He says you need to draw close to the living and true God, Jesus Christ. You need to learn the Word of God, the mind of Christ. You need to trust Him. Faith rests life. Living the faith rests life. Learn in good times how to trust God. Faith rests life in the difficult times. He is your ultimate supplier. And your connection with Him is your ultimate supply line. Second Corinthians chapter 9. We noted that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10, through chapter 9, verse 5, we have the Apostle Paul's advice and arrangements for the collection of from the Corinthian believers of this large grace-giving to be sent to Jerusalem, the destitute believers in Jerusalem, and to those at the seminary there preparing for the ministry. In 2 Corinthians 9, 1 through 5, we have the exhortation for readiness. Now, this readiness is readiness in here. It's readiness in your soul. That's the readiness. 2 Corinthians 9, 1 and 2 sounds like this. For indeed, concerning this grace-giving to the saints in Jerusalem, it is unnecessary for me to be writing to you, for I know your readiness, your willing mental attitude of grace-giving. Which willing mental attitude of grace-giving concerning you, I take pride in telling the Macedonian believers, namely that Achaia, Corinth, southern Greece, has been ready to give in grace a year ago, and your noble aspirations of grace-giving has been an encouraging example to most of them, the Macedonians. And in that verse 2, the key word is prothumia. That's the word for readiness. It means willingness. It means readiness. The believers in Corinth are willing to give in grace to the believers in Jerusalem. They have readiness of mind. They are willing to cooperate. They have genuine humility. Positive volition toward God and the Word of God, and a readiness, a mental attitude of grace-giving. They are waiting for the proper instructions, and Paul will provide the proper instructions through this delegation that he is sending to them, Pastor Teacher Titus, his brother Luke, and an unknown believer. Paul is currently in Macedonia. teaching the Macedonians, who are, they totally understand grace giving, and unlike the Corinthians, they didn't have a lot of money, but they themselves, the churches of Macedonia, supported the Apostle Paul and his ministry all over the Roman Empire. They totally nailed grace giving. So he's in Macedonia teaching the Macedonians, and when he gets to the doctrine of grace giving, he shocked them all when he used the Corinthian believers as an illustration of grace giving. The Corinthians are ready to give in grace. They were prepared by maximum metabolized doctrine in their heart, taught by the Apostle Paul and also by Pastor Teacher Titus. They are prepared to give in grace because they have fulfilled the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. They have grown up in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They were prepared to give in grace, apa parousi, which means since last year or a year ago. The offering has not been completed, but the preparation was ready a year ago. They have enough metabolized doctrine in their heart to give in grace as unto the Lord. The virtue love function of Christians is a great encouragement to other Christians. The believers in Corinth have not yet completed the offering for the believers in Jerusalem. They have simply demonstrated their grace mental attitude. It was the willing mental attitude of grace giving that encouraged the Macedonians. Not the amount that the Corinthians gave, which was a very large amount. Because the amount you give in grace is inconsequential. It's your mental attitude that counts. And then verse 3 says, but I have sent the brethren, the delegation, for the purpose that our praise on behalf of you should not prove to be empty words in this matter, so that you may be prepared, ready, even as I kept on saying you would be. Paul has sent this special delegation of Titus and his brother Luke and an unknown believer. They are all spiritually mature believers. They all have maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation. They all have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. And they all know and understand the doctrine of grace giving. Now, in verse 4, this delegation gets Paul off the hook. Verse 4. Lest in any way, if any Macedonian believers accompany me and find you not prepared in your soul for grace giving, that we, I do not say you, I say we would be embarrassed by this confident assumption. And then that brought us to verse 5. And we haven't completed the exegesis of verse 5, but so far we have this. So I made a necessary command decision to encourage the brethren, Titus, Luke, and the unknown believer, that they should go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful grace gift. All right, now we continue our exegesis in verse 5. That the same might be ready as a matter of bounty. That's the King James. Of course, this whole section on the King James, if I just read that and tried to teach that, I don't know what they're trying to say. This is the present active infinitive of the to-be verb, eimi, plus the accusative singular of hetoimos, plus the accusative singular of the demonstrative pronoun houtos, plus the adverb houtos, plus the comparative particle hos, plus the accusative singular of elogia. All right, well, we have the infinitive of the to-be verb eimi. There's the to-be verb, e-i-m-i, eimi. And this is the infinitive of purpose. And it is correctly translated in order that, or for the purpose that. And then we have the demonstrative pronoun houtos. H-O-U-T-O-S, houtos. And the demonstrative pronoun houtos, it means this, and it's referring to this grace gift. So, we would translate this, in order that this grace gift might be, or for the purpose that this grace gift might be. And then we have hetoimos. H-E-T-O-I-M-O-S. Hetoimos. And a couple of things. One, hetoimos, first of all, means ready or prepared. Ready or prepared. So point two, this says, for the purpose that this grace gift might be ready. For the purpose that this grace gift might be already prepared. Point three, in other words, it is already taken before we get there. It's already taken before we get there. And then we have an adverb, houtos. H-O-U-T, long O-S, houtos. And the adverb houtos means in this manner, in this manner. And then we have the comparative particle hos, H long O S, hos. And the comparative particle hos means as. And then we have elogia. E-U-L-O-G-I-A, elogia. And elogia, this is the, we've had this earlier in this passage. Elogia means blessing. It means bountiful gift. It means bountiful grace gift. And that's how we'll translate it, this bountiful grace gift. So, corrected translation. For the purpose that this grace gift might be ready, prepared in this manner as a bountiful grace gift. For the purpose that this grace gift might be ready and prepared in this manner as a bountiful grace gift. And then he has something that you don't want it to be this. And not as of covetousness. This is the conjunction chi with the negative may, plus the comparative particle hos repeated, plus the accusative singular of pleonexia. The conjunction chi, the connective chi, and you translate that and. But a very important warning, the negative may. M Wong E, May. May is not and not. And then the comparative particle host is correctly translated as or by, and then the word pleonexia. Bad word, pleonexia. That's pleonexia, pleonexia. Very important. You don't may pleonexia. So one, pleonexia literally means a desire to have more. That's where the King James got the meaning translation, covetousness. When you covet something, you have a desire to have more. Two, therefore, pleonexia means insatiableness, greediness, avarice, covetousness. Insatiableness, greediness, avarice, covetousness. Point three. Arndt and Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, page 673, tells us that in our verse, pleonexia has a pregnant meaning. Pleonexia is enceinte. It has a pregnant meaning, and the pregnant meaning is a gift that is grudgingly given. So A and G, The Greek Lexicon, page 673, says, in our verse, pleonexia has this pregnant meaning, and it means a gift that is grudgingly given. Four, it is grudgingly given because of personal avarice. Personal avarice. Greediness. Five. In other words, it is giving because of pressure. You don't really want to give. You grudgingly want to give, but because there's pressure from the pastor or the missionary or somebody, why, then you feel like you're under pressure and you have to give something. So in other words, it's giving because of pressure. However, point six, grace giving is motivated by the filling of the Spirit and motivated by maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Grace giving is the result of having personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. And that's a key part of grace giving. When you have that impersonal love for all and occupation with Jesus Christ, now you operate under free will giving. So grace giving is motivated by the filling of the Spirit and maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Grace giving is free will giving. Seven. Giving should never be grudgingly given. Giving should never, never be grudgingly given. 8. Giving should never be associated with pressure or with embarrassment that leads to pressure. Giving should never be associated with pressure or with embarrassment that leads to pressure. Nine, grace giving is a mental attitude that demands the privacy of the priesthood. It demands the privacy of the priesthood. Grace giving is the spiritual sacrifice from the privacy of your own priesthood, the spiritual sacrifice to God. Grace giving is a mental attitude that demands the privacy of the priesthood. 10. Grace giving is a spiritual sacrifice from your royal priesthood. It's giving as unto the Lord. Grace giving is a spiritual sacrifice from your royal priesthood. And therefore, it is giving as unto the Lord. So this was a very important last clause in verse 5. So I made a necessary command decision to encourage the brethren, Titus, Luke, and the unknown believer, that they should go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful grace gift, for the purpose that this grace gift might be ready, prepared in this manner as a bountiful grace gift, and not as one grudgingly given. Now that brings us to 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 15. And in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 15, we have the reward of generosity and gracious giving. The reward of generosity and gracious giving. And by way of introduction to this section, it'll also function as an outline as to where we're going here. Point one, in the grace of God, Christians are blessed in three ways for their generous and gracious giving. In the grace of God, Christians are blessed in three ways for their generous and gracious giving. First way, point two, the ones who give in grace will be blessed in grace. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 10. The ones who give in grace will be blessed in grace. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 10. Point 3, the second. The receivers, the ones who receive the gift, the receivers' needs are met in 2 Corinthians 9, 11 and 12. These are the ones who receive this grace gift and grace giving. Their needs are met. 2 Corinthians 9, 11, and 12. And then third, God, who is the source of all blessing, is praised. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 13 to 15. So first of all, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 10, the ones who give in grace will be blessed by the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 10. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. This is the post-positive conjunction de with the neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtas, plus the articular present active participle of the verb spero, with the adverb phaedomenos, plus the repetition of the adverb phaedomenos with the conjunction chi, plus the future active indicative of the verb therizo. All right, the post-positive conjunction de. D-E, de. Now, de is the transitional use of de, and it could be translated and, or moreover, or then, or now. When de is used with the demonstrative pronoun houtas, and it is at our verse, H-O-U-T-O-S. So, it's a transitional use of de. It could be translated and, moreover, then, now. And now, we'll translate it now. And when it's used with the demonstrative pronoun houtas, it literally means now this. Now this. And now this is a Greek idiom referring to what was taught back in verse 5. It puts the spotlight on the noun eulogia, blessing, bountiful grace gift, grace giving. And therefore, touta de is a Greek idiom that says, remember this principle of grace giving. Remember this principle of grace giving. And that's how we will translate it. That is the best translation of this. Remember this principle of grace giving. And then we have the verb spero. S-P-E-I-R, long O, spero. A couple of points on spero. One, spero is an agricultural term. An agricultural term. And of course, at the time the Bible was written, this was an agricultural economy. So they totally understood this. Point two, it literally means to sow seed. To sow seed, to plant seed. The articular participle, spero is an articular participle. The articular participle is substantival. It functions as a noun, and therefore you correctly translate it, the one who sows. The one who sows. Substantival participle. Three, Paul is setting up an analogy between sowing seed in an agricultural economy and grace giving. They totally understood this when he does this because that's where they were living, in an agricultural economy. They totally got this. So Paul is setting up an analogy between sowing seed as an agricultural economy and grace giving. Four, spero is modified by the adverb phaedomenos. And you go, dominoes? It must be pizza. Well, it's not. Phaedomenos. P-H-E-I-D-O-M-E-N, long O-S. Phaedominos. So spero is modified by the adverb phaedominos. Phaedominos, this is the Apostle Paul. How many hypoxlegomenons we had in, again and again and again. This is the hypoxlegomenon. It's the only time that this word is found in the New Testament scriptures. It's not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. It is not found in Greek writers before the Christian era. And so Paul, under the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit, coins a new word to communicate clearly and accurately this principle of grace giving. So point five, phaedominos comes from the verb phaedomai. Comes from the verb phaedomai, P-H-E-I-D-O-M-A-I. Phaedomai, and phaedomai means to spare or to refrain from doing something. And in our context of grace giving, it means to be miserly. Miserly. So to spare, to refrain from doing something, to be miserly. Six. Therefore, phaedominos means sparingly, parsimoniously. Checking out your vocabulary here. Sparingly, parsimoniously, to hold back, to refrain, to be miserly, grudgingly. Seven, this believer gives miserly, sparingly, grudgingly. This believer gives miserly, sparingly, grudgingly. Eight, he has no grace orientation. He has no doctrinal orientation. Now, in the agricultural economy, this is a person who hoards his grain. He hoards his grain. He doesn't sow the grain. He eats it. He eats it, doesn't give it to anybody, or he stores it and doesn't give it to anybody. But he doesn't sow it so he can get a harvest and give it to others. Doesn't do that. So he has no grace orientation, no doctrinal orientation. So point nine, in the people in the agricultural economy, they cursed the man who hoarded the grain. People cursed the man who hoarded the grain. And turn over to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 26. Proverbs 11, verse 26. People curse the man who hoards the grain. Hoards it, keeps it, eats it himself, stores it. But Blessing crowns the one who is willing to sell to others. But people curse the man who hoards the grain. So this is putting this in agricultural terminology, and the people totally understood this. Now, I want you to, look at verse 24. Proverbs 11, verse 24. One man gives freely, and yet gains even more. He gives in grace, and he winds up, after he gives in grace, he has more than what he gave. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others, grace-giving, will himself be refreshed. God gives, multiplies. God multiplies. When you are a spiritually mature believer, virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you totally understand grace-giving. You love to give in grace. You give in grace. And when you give in grace, God multiplies whatever you gave. He multiplies so you have more afterward than what you gave in the first place. How about that? Pretty fantastic. That's exactly how grace giving works. Now, most people haven't got a clue about that. Most believers don't. Most fundies don't. They are just legalistic to the core. They're the misers out there. Not touching my money. Well, good. I don't want to touch your money. Because grace giving is, first of all, you give your soul to the Lord. When you give your soul to the Lord, you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you know that all that you have and all that you are is because of who and what God is and what He's given to you in grace. And that motivates you to, you love to give in grace. You want to give in grace. And when you do that, God multiplies back to you more than what you ever had before. Isn't that neat how God works? Not the way most people work. Most people are legalistic turds. Notice I said turd. Still a four-letter word. But it's not shit, you know. Well. So people curse the man who hoards grain. Proverbs 11:26. 10. The size of a harvest corresponds to the scope of the sowing. The size of a harvest corresponds to the scope of the sowing. Eleven. A man may enjoy all of his grain, for keep it for himself, and eat it, or store it, or he may lose, i.e., some of it by sowing it, grace giving. And later he reaps a bountiful harvest. So a man may enjoy all of his grain himself, keep it for himself, eating it or storing it, or he may lose some of it by sowing it, grace giving, and later reaping a bountiful harvest. So the corrected translation, remember this principle of giving. The one who sows sparingly, miserly, grudgingly. Then we have the adjunctive use of the conjunction chi, the adjunctive use of chi. Is also. So we have the adjunctive use of chi. He shall also, and then we have therizo phaedomenos. Therizo. T-H-E-R-I-Z, long O, therizo. And therizo means literally to reap or to harvest. To reap or to harvest. And now we have phaedomenos repeated again, and the adverb phaedomenos, sparingly. So, we have remember this principle of grace giving. The one who sows sparingly, miserly, grudgingly, he shall also reap sparingly. But then, and he who soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. And, well, I'll give you the corrected translation. But the one who sows generously, grace-giving, will also reap generously. But got to come back and learn. It just gets better and better on grace-giving. So this is pretty powerful stuff here. A lot of times the people don't understand it because it's using agricultural terms, but it's absolutely fantastic. So we'll take it up this point next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.